Ms. Nordhunt, while we're switching over here, thank you for showing up early. We always say that, and not everyone does it, but this morning, all of council showed up early, and that was helpful because we did have one case that resolved itself before oral argument. I'll call the third case and final case for this morning's oral calendar, and that is Wadsworth and Wadsworth. The situation in this file is that only Ms. Nordhunt for the appellant has filed a brief, and consequently the oral argument will be limited to the 15-minute oral argument afforded ordinarily to an appellant. Our respondent is making no appearance, and consequently there would be no reason or cause to rebut anything, so you're limited to 15 minutes. You know the rules. State your name whenever you're ready.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is Kay Nordhunt, and I represent the appellant Barry James Wadsworth, Jr. Pursuant to the parties' Minnesota stipulated 2014 judgment and decree, the parties are co-custodial parents of the two minor children with joint legal and physical custody, with the children's primary residence jointly structured between the parties' two households.
And the parties were, at that point, both living in Minnesota, right?
That's correct. And the parties both stipulated that Minnesota was a proper jurisdiction within the contemplation of the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act, which I'll refer to as the Uniform Act.
At that point in time, there wouldn't have been any other alternative because the parents and the children were all living in Minnesota.
That's correct. And then, so what happened is Minnesota acquired exclusive continuing jurisdiction when that final judgment was entered. Having acquired exclusive continuing jurisdiction, the issue before the court this morning is whether Minnesota has Minnesota Statute Section 518D.202 exclusive continuing jurisdiction to hear and decide appellant's August 2018 custody modification motion. Appellant asserts the answer to that question is yes, and the trial court must be reversed and appellant's modification motion reinstated for hearing and decision. Now, in Schroeder, which is at 658 Northwest 2nd at 911, this court stated that the Uniform Act provides that the state issuing a custody decree has exclusive continuing jurisdiction generally when that state is the residence of the children or a parent, and as other jurisdictions have recognized in construing the Uniform Act, the use of the term and compels the conclusion that jurisdiction is retained until both the significant connection with this state and substantial evidence is no longer available in Minnesota concerning the children's care, protection, training, and personal relationships. In other words, if there's either a significant connection or substantial evidence, Minnesota retains exclusive continuing jurisdiction.
Under 202.
Under 202, and only Minnesota can determine whether it has lost jurisdiction under 202. So under the 202 sub 1 sub A.
I'm looking at this. I just want to make sure I understand the statute. So there's A, and then there's continuing jurisdiction until either one or two is established, right?
Under right.
A. And are you talking about one now?
I'm talking about A sub one.
So A sub one.
Right,
thank you.
Because okay. Under two, there is no court that has stated that there is a parent that does not presently reside in this state. So that provision is not at issue.
Right. So we're focused on one because dad is
right.
here.
Right.
And so then when we look at one. Okay. And then we'll go ahead with your argument. I think I'll ask my question.
Can I ask a question before sure. you do? Let's say under sub A, parent two, which you're saying is not at issue because dad lives here.
Right.
Am I understanding the statute correctly such that if while mom and dad were living in Ohio, someone had gone to the court in Minnesota and said, we'd like a determination that the court's continuing jurisdiction should end because at this point in time, no one lives in Minnesota. Could that have happened?
That could have happened.
But that didn't happen.
That did
so
not
happen.
So
you're saying because someone left and came back, even though jurisdiction could have been terminated while the entire family was in Ohio, because dad has come back, that provision no longer applies.
Right. Dad came back, and matter of fact, any motion that was filed in Ohio or Minnesota was both after the appellant had returned to Minnesota.
Got it.
So there's no question, and the court didn't rule that appellant doesn't presently reside in the state. So we are under sub A sub 1. In determining whether Minnesota retains exclusive continuing jurisdiction, what the court doesn't do is you don't compare and contrast Minnesota and Ohio. The focus is on the children in the state of Minnesota, and it was respondent who bore the burden of proof in contesting Minnesota's continuing jurisdiction who presented nothing that the relationship between the children and appellant, who is the parent in Minnesota, became so attenuated that Minnesota lost jurisdiction. Nor does the trial court conclude that the children's connection with appellant and Minnesota is so attenuated so as to be deemed not significant.
How long has it been since the children lived in Minnesota?
The children left Minnesota in August of 2016.
So 3 years.
The motion was in August of 2018, so 2 years.
I did have a question, and this is another framing question just as I read the statute. So the way that sub 1 reads, it says a court determines that the child's parents, those are the two relevant things here, right?
Right.
So the child and the child's parents do not have a significant connection with the state. And I'm just wondering, is it a case law gloss on that we really only look at the child, and your brief seemed to be more about the children's connection to the state, because clearly the dad has a connection. We have already established that because
right.
He's moved back. So I'm wondering about that.
Well, as you read it, the father himself, the parent, has a connection.
Yes.
But the way that every court has looked at it is that they look at the connection between the children, the parent, and the state.
Okay.
And so in this particular instance, what is of great importance is the fact that the parties stipulated that they're co-custodial parents of the minor children. So this isn't a situation where the parent that's in Minnesota has parenting time. I mean, they're actually splitting co-custodial. And so that in itself is a significant connection with Minnesota so as to keep exclusive continuing jurisdiction in this state.
So your argument is this statute just applies plainly. So if I'm a parent with legal custody rights and I'm in Minnesota, that means my kids who've been in another state for 2 years continue to have a significant connection to the state just because I'm now here.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter that the kids are living in another state, going to school in another state, having juvenile delinquency proceedings in another state, under the supervision of a court in another state. Like, none of that matters because custodial parent moved back to Minnesota.
Yes, because of the custodial parent. But we have, beyond that.
What are the connections beyond the custodial parent?
The fact that the children have a step sibling that resides in the state of Minnesota and has resided throughout. They have friends. I mean, they were here for 7 years. They've only were out of the state 2 years at the time of the motion. So they have friends in Minnesota. You have the connections. They're all connections with you had school, you had the doctors, et cetera. All of that was in Minnesota. So there is the significant connection with Minnesota.
What about the second part? And that substantial evidence is no longer available in this state concerning the child's care, protection, training, and personal relationships. I mean, just pragmatically speaking, what substantial evidence is here in Minnesota about the children's best interests and welfare when they're living in another state for the past 2 years? And isn't that state where the substantial evidence would be in terms of their family connections, school connections, friends? And I said, in this case, one of the kids has ongoing or had juvenile delinquency proceedings in that state, so we've got the court involved in his life there.
If I can back up, under the statute, if you have to meet both prongs in order to relieve Minnesota of exclusive continuing jurisdiction.
It's the and discussion.
It's not an or. So the fact that there's a significant connection ends the issue of jurisdiction. But if you want to move on.
If there's a significant, I'm still struggling a little bit with the kids have lived someplace else for 2 years. Dad moves back here. That's our significant connection. Well, and now it seems like the other question is, okay, well, where is the evidence about these kids, their current needs, and their best interests? I get it's only been 2 years, but 2 years is a long time in the world of a child under, 16.
Well, I mean, in this state, you have the fact that they did live here for 7 years. So you have the childhood friends. So you have the personal relationships. You have the stepbrother that resides in Minnesota. And you have the fact that they attended school in Minnesota and had those connections. So those would be the substantial connections.
Wouldn't the current information be more relevant to best interest determinations?
Not necessarily, no. And there's a case out of New Jersey where the court said, no, you can look at both past and present circumstances.
I get that, of course, but the issue is where should you be doing it? Should you be doing it in the state where the kids currently reside and have resided for the past 2 years? Or do we go back to Minnesota and say, let's decide what's best for these kids who now have been living in another state for the past 2 years?
Well, I think you do it in Minnesota. Again, the parents are co-custodians. They have joint legal and physical custody of the children. So I think that is just such an important factor here in making the resolution of this case. Plus, as I stated in my brief, the statute itself provides mechanisms for discovery and getting evidence. So it really it liberalizes things so we don't have to worry about the fact of, you have Ohio, you can do this in Minnesota.
But are we going to bring in a probation officer from Ohio to talk about the child's issues in that state?
Well, from the record, as I understand it, that issue is done, so that isn't a continuing issue.
Did you have a question?
I did, but go ahead.
I have a question about what the district court, well, actually, more accurately, probably the referee did here, and it seems like the referee wandered off into 207 land a little bit and then circled back and made that part of the 202 analysis. Is that the way you read it?
That's the way I read it.
Was there a 207 motion brought?
There was not.
You agree that that's still available?
It is still available.
If someone says, look, the children are too sick to travel or they're incarcerated or in a delinquent home over there and there's all sorts of evidence, they can still make that motion.
Right, but in order to do that, you first have to have jurisdiction.
Correct.
And then you have to move on, and you have to,
That is a declining by the Minnesota court under those circumstances to exercise the jurisdiction that does exist under 202.
Right, and then you have to bring a motion, and there's eight factors that you go through.
Which, by the way, seem to be beyond the scope of the record we have.
Right, and that's why I wanted to make it clear that this isn't, you can't turn to 207 and say affirm on this record.
So my question, if I could,
go ahead.
is back to the question of significant connection with this state, which I think you argue you look at this state, right? You don't look at what's happening
right.
in Ohio. So if, and you look at the children's connection with this state, if Dad had not moved back here, mm-hmm. would the children have a significant connection with this state under that statute?
If, they would still have a connection with the state in terms of the fact that the stepbrother resides in Minnesota. They still have friends in Minnesota. They went to school in Minnesota.
But does it meet that? This is a de novo question,
It would be more attenuated. No, I think that, you know, the factor here is the fact that father, the appellant, resides in Minnesota, and he is a co-custodial parent of these children. So he's legal and physical custody. With regard to, just briefly, the 207, where I saw that being raised is the respondent put in some proposed findings, and that's where it shows up in the record. But that is...
But there was no motion.
There was no motion.
To Minnesota court with exclusive jurisdiction to decline to exercise.
That's exactly right. And matter of fact, the respondent really didn't argue the case under 202, seemingly thinking it's under 206, which is wrong. And so it was kind of a mishmash the way it was presented, unfortunately, to the referee.
206 seems to be limited to circumstances different than this case.
Pardon me?
206 seems to relate to cases like that. We don't need to go down.
Well, the 206 really doesn't have much application anymore.
When you've got two states that both have.
Right. Well, because either once you've had a custody determination, somebody has exclusive continuing jurisdiction, you know, and until you kind of get that all, you know, straightened out. So that's why 206 really isn't utilized very much at all. So,
all right.
So I ask that this court reverse and remand to have appellant's motion for modification of child custody determined on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you. The matter is submitted, and we will issue our decision within 90 days as required by our court's rules. That concludes the oral calendar for this morning, and so we will be in recess.
All rise.